Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to another episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. I'm your host, Mario Busto, alongside
the other host, Zachary Newton. Welcome back.
Every once in a while, I have you way too loud on my headphones, and it's just like, the other host, like surround sound.
Is it yelling in your ear?
It's crazy.
Hey, at least you're not telling me to speak up, so that's cool.
No, yeah, it's better, for sure. Yeah. We're back. Episode 7, part 7, I guess. Masters of the Air. It's just getting better and better. I'm getting more and more attached to the characters here. There's a lot going on. You got Buck and Bucky. And, man, I'm always butchering the name of this thing. Stalag Luft 3, which is the German sort of... It's run by the German Air Force. And it is essentially where they're keeping all the POWs that they capture from probably the American Air Force, it seems.
American and British, if I believe, because the British were the ones that escaped, right?
Yeah, they kind of mess it up for everybody. Like 80 of them escape. Because the first thing that they introduce really in this, you know, in this Stalag is the fact that because the Americans are holding so many of the German POWs, they are not being treated too poorly in this one because of that, right? Because those guys want their units back as well. So we kind of catch up with Buck and Bucky, who have differing mindsets. Bucky wants to make a break for it. Buck, we find out, has proposed to Marge, who we only see briefly in the first episode. And Bucky sort of having this identity crisis, which is kind of... Didn't you get the feeling like this guy, the way they portray him on the show, is like, man, you have like zero perspective on the fact that you're in a Stalag right now and you don't want to go home because you didn't leave a wife waiting for you, or like a family waiting for you, or even like, you know, I guess your loved ones. It doesn't have to be a love interest, but he doesn't have anything waiting for him back home. So he's essentially saying like, I kind of don't want to leave this Stalag right now. Like, well, what are we doing with that? I can't imagine that that was an actual feeling that he had. I'm assuming that you'd want to sort that shit out after you leave, you know? Like, yeah, I'll just go back to the UK and meet up with, what was her name? The Polina?
The Polish girl? I don't remember. Yeah. I don't remember. But I feel like I also got the sense from him that, you know, it wasn't just that he didn't want to leave in some cases. Like, I mean, he was really like in his feels in this episode. He was jealous about things. But at the same time, he also just didn't seem to care about the risk, right? Because there wasn't people back home, so whatever, like he was just like kind of in some cases ready to go and just like, eh, like it doesn't matter what's gonna happen.
He does end up being right though, I think, in terms of needing to leave there, because now that the British have escaped in mass like that, it seems that these guys are probably gonna die in this camp. Specifically, I mean, they get threatened to be put in the hands of the Gestapo or the SS, right? So that's an issue. So that's an issue if that were to occur, because I don't think that they're following, you know, gentlemanly wartime rules when it comes to
prisoners. I think
we
know they weren't.
Yeah, well, the guy in the damn camp is like, I think we both don't want that, because those guys will probably just kill you to not have to have the hassle of taking care of prisoners. So, yeah, I'm assuming there's going to be a massive attempt to break out from Buck and Bucky, and they're going to try to galvanize people to leave there.
Oh, we're so building up to it.
Well, they did have a tunnel in the British thing. So are they going to build a tunnel for a year? Is it going to be a different way of escaping? I feel like it's going to be a different way of escaping.
Yeah, I don't think we have that much time to build a tunnel at this point. I kind of got the sense in part of this episode that they were just going to like kind of overrun the Germans. Like, it feels like the Germans are rather outnumbered right now.
Yeah, that's what it felt like for certain periods. But then when you see the number of Germans leaving the camp, it feels like that would have been the moment to do something.
Yeah, rather but it, than just, it would have been ill-prepared. Like, you would have had like 10 guys trying to do something, trying to start like a prison riot.
And you're still in Germany. So, like, how do you get
that too? That too. You got to be lucky and find somebody like Quinn did, apparently.
Yeah,
which I'm a little bummed about.
Yeah, so was I. I mean, well, good for them, but.
Well, yeah, I'm happy they're back too, right? Like, I'll say that.
Well, we didn't even see them, not even a close up. It was just them riding their bikes. And we kind of got a quick explanation that Quinn and Bailey made it back. Those were the two characters who pretty much went from Belgium and got passages. Safe passage to France, and we didn't see them again. So
Yep.
They pretty much, they did escape, and we find out that there's a rule back, well, there was a rule during World War II, where guys who returned out of German-controlled territory were not allowed to fly another mission, because if they were to have been captured again, they would have known too much about the escape routes and gotten the people who are helping troops from the friendly allies to get out of those countries. So they pretty much get a jail-free card and go home, which, good for them. I mean, they, I think that kind of qualifies for serving enough of your country if you escape enemy-controlled territory.
Yeah, I would agree with that. It's a nice ticket out. I feel like probably easier to achieve than hitting 25 missions, but at the same time, I don't know the odds for that. In this episode, we also find out that they upped the mission requirements from 25 to 30, which doesn't sound that bad, honestly, until you put it in terms of percentage. That's a 20% increase in missions that you need to fly.
Yeah, I was about to correct you on it, that it's no longer 25, it's 28 to 30. 28 for the guys who got caught in the crossover, and then 30 for the newbies.
Yeah.
Which is crazy, because you have some guys there who, you know, kind of spaz out about it when they've flown 18 missions, and now they got to fly another 10 in order to get there instead of 7. So that's a big difference when you're seeing these, you know, the Black Monday mission where they fly to Berlin and 15 forts don't make it back. Pretty much
half of them.
150 men died on that mission. So crazy. And they do set the stage of where we are. This is early 1944. This is pretty much right on the cusp of, I guess, the full-on invasion of Europe, right? We're right at the brink. Yeah, D-Day's around the corner from this point. Mm-hmm. And we did get a little sneak preview of, because think about it. We see the air missions at the beginning of this season, and the B-17s are going up there with no protection. It's just freaking 15 forts of B-17s flying these bomber missions solo. But now you get the innovation of the P-51 Mustang come into the war.
Heck
yeah. They're breaking a hole right into the German. Pretty much they secure air control for the Allied forces with the P-51s. And we do get a little sneak peek in the next episode that we're going to get the Tuskegee Airmen, which I'm delighted about. I did not know that was going to be a focus of the show, but that's pretty awesome.
I swear I got a glimpse of the Tuskegee Airmen in one of the ads, and I've been waiting for them to make an appearance in this entire show so far. So I'm happy that it's finally happening. Though, I don't know that much about the history of the Tuskegee Airmen, but we also learn in this episode that now the bombers are basically going to be used as bait to lure the German planes out so that they could destroy them and gain air superiority. And it's only now that, you know, the bombers are being used as bait that the Tuskegee Airmen are coming into play. So
these next few episodes should be insane.
This should be wild.
I thought it was a pretty incredible, honorable move on Rosie's part to get to 25 and then say, I'm going to double it up. You know,
absolutely.
Which is just crazy. He didn't even say, I'll do 5 more to hit 30. He was like, no, another.
Let's double it again. I'm going to go back.
Yeah. I mean, he's easily turned into my favorite character on the show so far.
Yeah.
Up till this point. Speaking of other favorite characters, I was wrong about Crosby. He does end up having an affair with A.M. Westgate. You can't really judge anybody in this situation.
Crazy time, man.
She's pretty. They're living on the edge, nearly dying every single day. You're pretty much at the end of the world. This is not like modern days where you're instantly connected with people across the entire world in 2 seconds. Mm-hmm. This is a waiting weeks between letters. So
yeah,
I still want to know what A.M. Westgate does. Like, what is her role in the war? What does she do for the Brits? Because it's so mysterious. I'm having a feeling that she's some legendary figure in the British military, you know?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I mean, she definitely seems important. Mm-hmm. I'll give you that. I agree with that. I know you mentioned the Tuskegee Airmen that, we got a glimpse of in the next episode. That said, if you look at the little sneak peek, can I say what I think I saw?
Sure.
I feel like she's a spy. I don't know for
who. Spy for the Brits.
A spy for the Brits? I'm hoping. I'm
He's
hoping,
not an enemy
but,
spy, bro.
I don't know. I don't know. I'm just saying. I wasn't paying full attention, and I swear I heard some words from a man with a German accent, and I swear they were talking to her. So I'm
that
not
would
quite
be
sure.
Insane.
It
that
would be insane.
Insane plot
but
twist.
But it fucking makes sense. Because
it does, but
look at who she's with. She's with Crosby. Like, what better person to be with than the guy drawing the plans for the attacks?
Yeah, you make a good point there. You do make a good point there.
That's what I thought. I really hope it's
are
not
we
put, the case.
Are we making a wager right now?
You know, I've had just enough Irish whiskey to make that bet.
She's not a spy. I'm planting my flag on the. She's not a spy.
All right, hold on. Are you saying she's not a spy, or are you saying she's not a spy for the Germans?
She's not a spy for the enemy.
So she's a spy for the Brits, mm-hmm. And I'm saying she's a spy for the Germans. Which, again, I don't want to be true, but I don't know, man. I just got this weird feeling in my bones that. She's with Crosby for a reason. Like, she kind of just appeared out of nowhere, which is fine. Like, it's not like that's bad, but
I'm very happy to take my side on the bet here. I am pretty confident that I'm correct on this one.
Hey man, look, like, I've had a few good runs last year. You got to get a few good runs this year. It'll switch back at some point. So
I'm going for a three-peat. I'm going for a three-peat right now. If you want to stay tuned with our waging record, you can catch also our series of Constellation that we're covering, also kind of dominating the Apple charts. If you're into sci-fi and mystery, that is up your alley. Good acting, good writing, very good show. I've gotten just about everybody I know hooked on it in the last week, so check it out when you get a chance. Should we talk about some other shows real quick while we're in the middle of this? I know people may not be
go ahead and talk about them while I note down our first bet for the show, by the way, coming to you in part 7.
We'll need about 2 more, which they got to be appropriate bets because this is nonfiction, but nonfiction. Yeah. We don't really do wagers on nonfiction, but the AM Westgate one makes sense to do.
Yeah.
Other shows. I just started a show on HBO. Fantastic. To the point where I don't know if it's an episodic type of show that I would do. Although we did do Peaky Blinders. So it would totally make sense to do this
Peaky
one episodically.
Badass.
Tokyo Vice, HBO. Fantastic. I've had a couple of you tell me to watch Shogun on FX. I haven't started it yet. It's on my list. I think I'm going to let it run for a little bit. It's inevitable that I do watch that. But Tokyo Vice, incredible. I'm about to finish season 1. I think I may pause at the end of season 1 for y'all and do a little season 1 recap. It's based on a true story on an American journalist who goes to Japan to essentially kind of get to the underbelly of the Yakuza in Tokyo in the late 90s. It's fantastic. I'm loving it. I'm into gang shows like that. Check it out. As always, if you're enjoying the show, 5 stars help a lot. Leave us comments. And if you want to get in touch with us, email us at contact@soapbox.house. We do have a couple of emails we do got to go through and some comments. We'll do that at the end of the show pertaining to Masters of the Air. And for those of you who reached out to our Constellation series, I'll get back to you there on our next episode. And we always appreciate the loving comments. We even appreciate the hating comments. We got one. They're always funny. It's always funny to know. Like, it's so predictable. The people who are the most easily offended. It's just so hilarious to me at this point. But
you're going to have to show me this one off air. I want to know.
The most offended are usually the most intolerant. So they always like preach tolerance, but they're the most intolerant. They're like, you lost me when you started diving into this. I'm like, all right, I didn't give a shit. But I wish I could directly correspond like within. That's the one thing Spotify for podcasters lacks because we get a handful of comments on the episodes. Most, like I'd say 80% of them are positive, and then
probably
you get 20% that. 20% that are douches, but you can't respond directly, and so we can't correspond with the audience out there who have genuinely good comments on the show. And then we could also poke fun at the haters too. But
All right,
we do have some live streaming capabilities, and the Oscars are coming up.
When are the Oscars? I have to
April.
Ask.
April. We do have a lot of homework we have to do. There's a lot of good shows coming out. You got the Benjamin Franklin show coming out on Apple TV. It's a mini series starring Michael Douglas.
Solid.
You got the Manhunt featuring Crosby, the actor who plays Crosby, he's going to be playing John Wilkes Booth, and it's all about the manhunt for John Wilkes Booth post the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. And it's just so many good shows out there right now. So stay tuned. Lots to do, lots to watch. I kind of want to do our live stream Oscar watch party where we like get in suits and watch the Oscars live and commentate. It could get dangerous, but you know, it should be fun.
We'll have to have some like whiskey bets or something like that. Yeah, every time somebody says something stupid, you have a drink. I'm down. I'll admit though, I put on a little weight since I bought my suits about 10 years ago.
Well, it's a good thing that nobody can see from the waist down when we do a podcast.
Yeah, I'm not wearing any pants right now.
Yeah, yeah, I'm wearing shorts. So, you know, it is what it is. But yeah, we can do a drinking game. I'm on my last high noon, Zach. So, you know, speaking of wagers, I'm going to come collect them pretty soon.
You've got a slide because I just got my tentative walkthrough date for the townhome. So like 2 weeks from tomorrow, actually, or today, if you're listening to this on Tuesday, the 5th of May.
Got you. Yeah, that'll be the last episode.
Or March. Wow, that's right, a bit off. My apologies.
I was trying to scare the audience and say that was like the last episode of Story Archives.
But yeah, I'm moving to Antarctica. There's no internet.
Yeah, no internet. But just kidding, though. All right, let's continue onward here. We were talking about AM Westgate. You wrote down the wager. We're good there?
I wrote down the wager, wager number one.
Okay. What did you think when there was a change of CEO at the base and Bennett takes over, which I got to say, you know, I appreciate the courage of it. He has to come pretty much break the news to the men, which he knows is not going to be fun. Mm-hmm. To be honest, for that presentation, I probably would have spared the whole pomp and circumstance of doing the whole curtain reveal. I would have kind of just had that curtain open already.
Yeah, you know, like everybody realize it as they walk in the room again. Fuck.
You know what I mean? Instead of just like, Berlin! It's just like, again, you know, like,
and it's come on, the same path.
Yeah. We're going to take the same route, boys. And he pretty much admits to Rosie at the end that the strategy is to use these B-17s as bait. So they're pretty much, the target is not really, it is Berlin, but at the same time, it's to eliminate the Luftwaffe, pretty much the entire German air fleet. So I'm assuming that's why the Tuskegee Airmen come in this season.
And that was the point I was making. Yeah. Like, I feel bad that this seems to be the circumstance in which they're coming in. Again, I don't know too much of the true history of the Tuskegee Airmen beyond knowing the name of the Tuskegee Airmen. But I mean, it's an unfortunate time to bring them in. It just makes me feel like they've been brought in for bait.
Oh, no, they're not being brought into for bait. Dude, they're the ones flying the P-51s.
Are they really?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then thank you. I feel much better about America then. Thank you.
Yeah, no, they're flying them in. Tuskegee Airmen fought the fighter jets, bro. Hold on. We got to look this up real quick.
Banter. Well, I was just going to say, the way that I read the little sneak peek preview of the next episode, it was right after hearing that, like, oh, yeah, we're just going back up for bait. And I'm like, is that why they're really bringing them in?
So, yeah, look, the Tuskegee Airmen flew hundreds of patrol and attack missions for the 12th Air Force, flying P-40 and P-39 airplanes.
Wonderful. All right.
Before they were reassigned to the 15th Air Force to escort B-17 and B-24 heavy bombers using P-47 and P-51. Airplane. So, nah, bro, they're coming in as the escorts. Good. They're not coming in as the bait.
I'm glad. I'm excited to see them in action. I have not seen any shows around the Tuskegee Airmen. At least not that
there
I'm
was
aware
a of. There was a movie.
Yeah, by George Lucas, right?
Was it George Lucas?
I swear there was a George.
Yes, Lucas there was Tuskegee a George Lucas Airmen one, movie. But I think there's a better one that came out later.
Well, probably. I mean, I don't know that George Lucas has had that many great movies beyond Star Wars.
Oh, bro, don't talk
about George Lucas. I'm just messing. I'm just messing.
I'm trying to
get somebody to respond, you know, in the comments, right?
That is not who I want to. I disagree with Zach here, guys. You aim that one. You aim that critique at Zach.
No. George, I like George Lucas. He's got some, I have been wanting to watch, what was the first movie that he made? American Graffiti? I've never watched that, but I wanted to go back and watch that one.
It's on Netflix, I believe. Do you think we're going to see Rosie again in these missions coming up, or because he's going to be the CEO of the 350th, this might be the end of Rosie on the show?
Man, I think we're going to see him go up again. I can't see him not going up. Like, I feel like his whole reasoning for going back was because he was like, guys, like, that's effed up. Like, it was 25 missions, now it's 30, he might up it again. Like, no, I'm gonna go back and fly with my boys, make sure that they make it back or have the best chance of making it back. I mean, he's a great pilot from what I've seen in the show, so I think he's going back up.
Yeah, they literally call him the best B-17 pilot that they had ever seen. I forget who mentions that. Oh, the guy at the bar mentions that when he's talking to the newly enlisted soldiers there.
Mm-hmm.
He says, yeah, it's no myth. He actually was the only one who came back in that mission.
Red Tails is from George Lucas. Lucasfilms.
I want to talk a little bit. I think that we're going to have to get some sort of resolution here with Stalag Luf 3 and figure out what's going to happen there. I don't imagine, like we already know, if these guys make it out of here alive, they're going home. They don't get to fly again, based off of the rules that we just saw from Quinn and Bailey. Albeit they are in very precarious waters at this point. They're in German-controlled territory. Even if they do escape the Stalag, that's just the first step of getting out of the country.
Yeah.
And I find it hard to believe that they're both going to escape, Buck and Bucky.
I hope they do. The air raids seem to be coming pretty close to where they are. I mean, you can literally hear the bombing off in the distance.
That is Berlin. That's Berlin, according to what's in line with with what's going on in the story. So the timelines are completely in sync there.
Yeah. Agreed. Yeah, it must be Berlin. I guess they're in the heart of it, eh?
Yeah. Yeah. And then in terms of what's his name, Crosby. What's next for him, really? I mean, he is navigator here, but he has this pretty deep affair going on with A.M. Westgate. And I don't know if that's going to... I mean, I don't know if that's going to be kind of just like a dream, like a fever dream type of thing where he just kind of gets over it at the end. But he does seem pretty obsessed. And maybe she's going to have to be the one to set him straight towards the end.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure. I hope that, like, there's more to the story than just this little, like, fling that we're seeing right now. Because... I really don't want to have another Quinn moment in this series where it's just like, if you blink, you miss it. And by the way, they made it back. Okay, on to the next piece of the story. So I don't know. I would imagine that there's going to be more development with her. And I just don't know what it's going to be.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. I think that just about sums up everything that occurred in this episode. Do you have any final thoughts before we go to categories?
I do. I want to try and build my own radio. That looks pretty freaking cool.
Yeah, I was going to say, Buck truly can do just about anything. I mean, he's building radios. You know, he's pretty ingenious.
Yeah. My dad built one way back in the day. So I got to try and figure it out. Sounds interesting.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Categories? All right.
Yes.
All right, let's start with favorite scene of the episode. I got mine. Like, it's just hands down.
You can go first.
Rosie, man, doubling up.
We have the same one.
Close second. The building of the radio.
You would like that. Being the techie, just like the person who likes to see how tech is built. Like, you would be the one who enjoys that. Yeah. Second best. Man, it's Rosie's is such a far and above like all the others.
I know, right? All right, you know, I've got another runner up. Okay. It's just the absolute.
Hold on.
Okay.
You say Rosie doubling up. I'll say runner up is Rosie making it back from the 25th. Like, that's probably the.
That's a good one. Well, the other runner up that I was going to throw out there was just the utter chaos in the air that we saw. Like, can you imagine flying and trying to shoot the right freaking plane?
Mm-hmm.
with just all of that going, like, dude, like, I was lost. I'm like,
I've been wondering that the entire show.
if how do you know you're not shooting the wrong one?
I just always wonder, like, is there how many situations of friendly fire were there in these dogfights, you know?
Yeah, I'm sure there was some unintentional. Like, there's just no way there wasn't. I mean, I feel like on some of the older planes, you could shoot your own plane with some of the angles you could get with these guns. So,
yeah,
it's bound to happen at some point.
Definitely.
I mean, the next question would be best character of the episode, but I think we're both going to agree on that one, too.
It's Rosie. It's got to be Rosie, man.
Absolutely. He is actually, I think, one of my favorite. I think he's my favorite character of the show right now, honestly. Like, I like Buck. I like Bucky. They're cool. But Rosie's just like a badass. Like, and he's also cool, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, mm-hmm. He seems very heroic.
Rosie?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. He seems honorable. Just honorable.
He does. He does.
Anything else? Because I don't have any lines that stand out.
Have any lines that stand out, so I'll pull one out of the books from Constellation. Who do you think has it worst right now?
Worst. I don't think you can get much worse than Buck and Bucky in a Stalag, to be honest.
I don't know about that one. I feel like the guy that probably has it worst is the guy that just doubled up for another 30 missions now, not 25.
Yeah.
Because that's risky.
I think I'd rather do that than be at the hands of the Germans, you know.
Yeah, you'd rather take your chances trying to blow planes out of the sky.
Well, they were shooting down the parachutes in this episode.
That's true.
In the Black Monday mission, they were saying that they were even shooting down the guys who were coming down on parachutes. So,
yeah.
It's an ugly part of the war right now.
Yeah. Well,
that's it.
That's all the categories I got. It's hard to pick a line from this show.
I was looking through our emails. Let's see if I can find some comments here.
All right.
I was having some login issues a second ago, but
so was I. I got kicked out of Apple. I don't know why.
Yeah, who knows? Yeah. Apple's always the ones that are causing the issues. Like, it's never anybody else. It's always Apple.
Listen, I'm involved with software development. 100% agree. It's always Apple that slows you down. You can have a plan. Yeah, we're gonna release on this date, but man, once you get to releasing your Apple app. Like, yeah, we went through like 3 weeks of reviews and audits and this and that. It's a nightmare.
All right, Zach, you got a thanks from Tracy Frazier, who says, thanks for mentioning Hogan's Heroes in the last episode.
Oh, you're welcome.
One of my favorites. So you get that, Zach. You get a throwback compliment there. We also got a comment from Elia. Yo, will you do Constellation? No one has picked it up yet. Well, we've got some good news for you, pal. We have already done all 4 episodes of Constellation, and hopefully you have noticed by now. A quick shout out to Jonathan Buckley. Thank you very much for always showing love on the videos. Let's see, who else do we have here?
I love the comments. It's always fun to go through them.
Okay. Mr. Bismarck. 2 weeks ago, episode 5. The sort of maneuvers Rosenthal was pulling are only really possible when you're the only plane left. If you're still flying in a box with the multiple other aircraft close by, you risk collision. Yeah, good point. That's when Rosie had his iconic mission where he was the only one who came back.
Yeah.
So, yeah. And lastly, thank you, Tobias, for always giving us those algorithm acceleration comments. We appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Love it.
All right, Zach. Anything to add, or should I... do a little housekeeping before we close.
You know, but before you do a little housekeeping before we close, the Band of Brothers show follows the 101st Airborne Division. Uh-huh. And in Saving Private Ryan, Private James Francis Ryan is a part of the 101st Airborne Division. He's not also involved in Easy Company, which is in Band of Brothers, but I did just watch Saving Private Ryan again. I thought I hadn't seen it, but it had just been a long time. It kind of came back to me as I was watching it. Great movie, by the way. very interesting to kind of see that as I'm watching Masters of the Air, knowing, especially after this episode, knowing that like they're waiting to deploy troops until they get air superiority. It's just kind of crazy to kind of see how that unfolds. Great movie. If you haven't seen it, go watch it. And if you have Apple TV Plus, it's free on Apple TV Plus right now.
Mm.
So give it a watch. That's
free
all I got.
Marketing. Free marketing for Apple always.
I know. They should pay us, really.
Yeah. Saving Private Ryan, probably the best World War II movie out there. Maybe 1917 is like second place.
Second place. Wow. Okay.
Damn good. It's really good, 1917. I don't know. The scene always gets me in Saving Private Ryan with the old man at Arlington.
Cemetery. It does. It gets you like choked up. It's just crazy.
Oh yeah. Big time. Big time. Other stuff going on. Yeah, we're just all up in the world wars right now. I started reading some Hemingway again. I started a book I've had on the shelf for a minute there. I've read a good amount of Hemingway, actually. I'm not bougie, but I do really have enjoyed his books. I'm reading For Whom the Bell Tolls at the moment. I've read Farewell to Arms, Sun Also Rises, and that. And usually his books always revolve around like a soldier either getting off of service or in the middle of a mission or something. It's always usually that. And then it kind of transitions into something else entirely. At least the three that I just mentioned kind of. Well, Sun Also Rises doesn't really do that. But anyways, reading that, I actually had to pick it up again because I had forgotten everything that I had read when I last picked it up. Watching Tokyo Vice, I am about to finish season one there. It's fantastic. I don't think there's ever been a show. I know there was a Jared Leto movie that kind of tackled the Yakuza. But I haven't really seen anything that stood out to me. I haven't watched that movie either, so I think I might dive into that after. I definitely want to do some coverage on Tokyo Vice. And there's just a bunch of good shows coming out. We're in the middle of Constellation. Make sure you catch our coverage there. You got plenty of commentary coverage to keep you company while you watch that show. And we're posting Peaky Blinders on YouTube. We're trying to put out all of our Peaky Blinders content before the Oscars in April, to catch up right in time with Cillian Murphy winning the Oscar for Best Actor. So stay tuned on there. As always, if you're liking this content, subscribe, rate the show, and share it with a friend. It really helps. So
two friends.
Anyways, two friends? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Until next time, y'all. Thanks for tuning in. And Zach, to your outro.
For sure. Well, thank you for listening to this episode of Masters of the Air by Story Archives. You can find this podcast anywhere you find podcasts, Apple and Spotify podcasts primarily. You can visit us on YouTube at Soapbox Podcast Network. Our website is soapbox.house. You can email us at contact@soapbox.house. And we do have a link in the description below to sign up for our quarterly newsletter.
Until next time, y'all, take care and see you on Constellation.
Peace.